Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Zero to Agile. I am your host, Phil Japixi. On to the interview. I was fortunate enough to speak down in Orlando at a conference, a .NET Developers Conference called VS Live, and two of my good friends, Rachel Appel and Pete Brown, were also speaking there, and I had an opportunity to talk to them about how they get to know their customers better. They are also evangelists. They both work for Microsoft. Little different roles, as we'll get to in the interview. And, you know, one of the hardest things that we do in software development is understand our customer. And I'm not talking at the individual requirement level. I'm talking even bigger than that. You know, what are our customers? Who are they? What are they looking for? And those types of things. So we had a great conversation when we were down in Orlando. And actually, it was so great that I didn't want to trim any of it. So this will be our first two-part episode, starting early in the lifespan of the show. So enough of me. What you really want to hear is the interview. So let's get right to it with Pete Brown and Rachel Appel, recorded live December 5th in Orlando, Florida at VS Live. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you. We are in sunny, well, actually it's starting to rain right now, but it's very warm, Orlando, Florida at VS Live. And I've got two of the speakers and also very good friends of mine here on the show with me today, Pete Brown and Rachel Appel. And Pete, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Pete Brown, and I'm a community program manager at Microsoft. And I also have a terrible cold, so I'm not going to sound like my usual self here.
And I'm Rachel, and I'm a developer evangelist out of Microsoft, New York City. I do not have a cold.
Neither of us actually work for a living.
There is
right?
That.
Yeah.
Because you're both evangelists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. You know, we both go and just talk and play with things and have fun and try and convince other people to play with the same things, right?
Yeah.
And I've been accused of that, too, with my role as an evangelist with Telerik. So what we want to talk about today is getting to know your customers, because obviously you guys have community-facing roles, or at least public-facing roles, you know, evangelism and whatnot. And it's very important for any company, especially at the product level, to really have an understanding of their customers. And, you know, I thought you guys would be great to have on because that's pretty much what your job is, I believe, is to find out about your customers and bring it back to the mothership, as it were. So kick it off to either one of you who wants to start talking about, you know, who your customers are to start with, and then, you know, how you get to know them better. So, Rachel, you want to?
Yeah, sure. So as an evangelist, I have a couple different type of customers that I work with. First, with the geographic location, my local folks. So those would be the ones that come to the user groups, the code camps, and other events that we have, and I get to deal with them locally. They're also a subset of the same people just everywhere in the world that I could reach by email, blogging, social networking, and other type of media. So they're all the same customers, it's just whether I get to see them more often face-to-face or if I have to deal with them online more often. And of course, I work on the web stack, so it's mostly ASP.NET, a lot of MVC, HTML, that kind of thing, jQuery. Unlike Pete, who's the, you know, Silverlight and WPF guy.
It'd be nice.
We'll try to not like break out into a fight here, but you know.
Oh, that might be kind of fun.
It would actually, but I'll catch something. He's sick.
You said the geographic area, so you're in New York City, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fun thing. I mean, we do very similar things. I tend to be less locally focused and more kind of globally focused, so I tend to do a lot more with different, you know, people across the country and a lot more. I probably spend most of my time connecting with people online, but then I've been trying to do a lot more individual little local things, you know, stuff like this. I mean, you mentioned like doing code camps and user groups and stuff near you. I don't know what you found, but I found like, you know, we spend a lot of time online trying to connect with different people, but there is a large segment of the customers that simply you'll never connect with online. Like you'll never see on Twitter, you'll never see on Facebook. Right. Like they won't hit your blog. They don't know about different properties that we have. They don't you know, they don't visit Microsoft help sites. They don't know about MSDN and whatnot. And I found that those people, it seems for the most part, you have to meet them at things like this, right? It's either book writing or meeting them at some of these smaller events and code camps and stuff are the only chances you're going to have to connect with them.
Yeah. That's the thing about programmers, I think, is, you know, we're known for not being the most socially adept folks in the world. So social networking and networking is something that they don't often do. So, but they will come out for training face-to-face or a code camp, or they'll read a book. Or if you do a blog post, they'll read that as part of their, you know, searching online to find a solution for something. So definitely, yeah, it's, you have to go where they're at.
And the segment that you meet, like the customers, I think evangelism, I think, divides people kind of broadly into segments, if I remember correctly. I don't know if that's still how it works. But like the audience segment that you would meet online tends to be a different selection of people than you would meet at an event. So take like a tech ed or an event like this. I found that if you're looking for input from the 9-to-5 developers, the people that have to do this work day in and day out, and their life depends on, you know, what we're producing, and they're not running the latest and greatest, you know, half the room's running Windows XP and these talks and stuff here, those aren't the same people you're talking to online who tend to be, I'm gonna broadly stereotype as the alpha types.
Early adopters
and stuff. And so, you know, it can be misleading to give those folks more voice than the people you meet at events and stuff like this, right?
Right. And the thing is that the folks that are out there, the early adopters, they're the ones that are also the early squawkers, which doesn't mean it's bad or anything. It's just that, like Pete said, you can get a little bit of an imbalance there where, you know, the people who are really, you know, using our stuff day to day are, you know, just doing so, and they're not out consulting, and they're, you know, in a shop, and they're just kind of quietly sitting there. They may not have access to social networking, and they probably don't. And yeah, we need to reach them as well.
Yeah, a lot of those places don't. I remember working at an insurance company in the DC area when I was a consultant, and this was way back, but they used to block Google News groups because they're like, no, that's chat, right? But at the time, that was, you know, in the days before Stack Overflow and a lot of the forums, Google News Groups was the way you got developer support.
That's it.
And so these developers had to go, if they were so motivated, they had to go home, ask their questions online then, and then they'd go to sleep. And then the next day, they'd be kind of unproductive or work on something else, come home again, hopefully they have an answer. Chances are they had somebody, you know, tell them it's the wrong form and they need to post something else, right? You know, because that's the usual response being developers.
RTFM.
Yeah, exactly. or maybe they had needed some clarification. And this could take several days to get a simple answer to a question because they had no other outlet, no other means of accessing this stuff, right? And that still persists in some places today where you can't get to, say, MSDN forms. Or maybe you can get to them, but if your manager comes over to your cube and he sees you typing a forum, you know, post in some place, you get the, you know, why isn't Sally coding type stuff, as opposed to like, why are they participating online? So that's kind of harsh.
So the online thing, let's first talk about your blogs. I know you guys are both very active bloggers, but do you get a lot of feedback from people who read your blog, or is it more of you guys trying to push out information about your particular stacks?
I get a lot of feedback. I get a lot of comments usually on almost every post except the, you know, posts telling you what events are coming up. And then usually each email each blog post rather, will also spawn a whole bunch of private emails, people who don't just like to comment publicly or anything like that. A lot of people, regardless, just have that fear of asking a question, kind of like they're in the class, right? So they'd rather just email it to you or something like that. So I get a lot of that. And even things like, it was very interesting, I did a post on women in technology and stats on kids going into STEM, science, tech, engineering, math type fields. And I got not only a lot of comments, but people randomly doing research in that field started emailing me with their research on the topic, which was pretty cool. And I'll also get a lot of people who will actually write and say, hey, I did stuff in your post and was able to, you know, make a component or get something done, which is pretty cool. That's the best feedback that you get.
Yeah. And I get a fair bit of, you know, individual comments on my blog, as well as, just like you're saying, people email you from that. I tend to get batches of send me the codes emails too, right? You know, like we're just, there's a segment of the population where they, again, going back, they don't know what resources we have out there. And so they're just randomly trolling the web looking for anybody who might be able to help. And they're just, you know, responding to completely unrelated posts saying, I have problem X, can you at least help me? And they don't know about the forums and Stack Overflow and MSDN and a bunch of other stuff. So It's a little disheartening sometimes, right, to see that out there. But these are the folks that are trying to get a job done.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
This episode of Zero to Agile is brought to you by Telerik Team Pulse. Incorporating customer feedback into your development process is essential if you want to produce software that meets customer expectations and deadlines. Now, you can easily do that with Telerik's Agile Project Management tool, Team Pulse, with its extension, the Ideas and Feedback Portal. The portal is a web-based solution that connects product teams with their customers and partners. There, they can submit feedback about projects and collaborate on it by leaving comments and voting. Then this customer feedback can easily be transformed into concrete work items such as stories and tasks. Thanks to this rapid feedback loop, your development team will always be able to build the right features in the right order at the right time and increase customer value. Make sure you give the Ideas and Feedback Portal a try at www.telerik.com/feedback-portal. That's telerik.com/feedback-portal. Thank you again to Telerik Team Pulse for sponsoring Zero to Agile and making this podcast possible. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sometimes I'll get a comment on a blog post, you know, topic A, and their comment will be totally nothing to do with that.
Right, right.
And I, you know, I'm wondering, like, I don't know, like, how did they get there? And once you get to the site, why didn't they look around? Or, you know, my email's pretty visible on the homepage. It's, you know, stuff like that. But there's still a lot of people that don't know about things that a lot of the people on social networking think are very basics, like MSDN, outside of just Microsoft.com. Like, a lot of folks don't know about CodePlex or don't know about ASP.NET.
Right. Yeah. And so at the last VS Live, one up in Redmond, they had a developer, like Family Feud type thing, Richard Dawson Family
right.
Feud type thing at the end there. They had some folks come up and answer the question, like, where do you go for developer help, right? And people were just, nobody could name Stack Overflow, nobody could name MSDN Forms. People think of MSDN, they think it's a library, right? Of course, the most popular help site out there is Stack Overflow. I think, you know, that's just sort of a given at that point. But they didn't know about it. They didn't even come as something that they thought of. Instead, the answer that a lot of them gave was Google search. So it's just sort of looking, I would say actively looking for information, but not actively soliciting information, you know, not trying to participate in something. And again, I think that kind of goes back to the whole why isn't Mary coding type thing, where you're afraid to be seen in your cube typing a question in on one of these forums or something.
Yeah, and that's compounded by the fact that non-tech folks, especially the ones that control the checkbooks and, you know, whatnot, it's not their job to know about technology, but they just see you, if you're hitting fingers on the keyboard, they think you're working, and if not, they think you're not working.
Right.
And, you know, or if they see something online that, you know, you're typing in a question on a forum, oh, what are you doing there? So just a human thing, I guess, with management.
I used to run into that with like graphic stuff. Like, the users asked us, like, for icons on, like, and this was Windows Forms .NET 2 timeframe, where the users said, hey, we want these icons and we want some styling and stuff here. And I had to sort of hide in the corner of this one cube and turn my monitor so people couldn't see me in Photoshop or whatever at the time designing icons. Just the management just sort of thought these things appeared out of nowhere, you know? And like, you know, that's not real work. You're drawing pretty pictures. So, I mean, there is definitely an issue with mentality.
That's
there.
Harder than programming.
Yeah.
I'm stick people in squares all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What it sounds like, a lot of what you guys do is provide developer help. So from a customer perspective, it's really developers who you're trying to help them do their job better by using Microsoft technologies. Is that an accurate statement?
And I'm going to broadly take a broad brush here and argue with me on this if this is not correct. But in general, the group that I'm part of, Developer Guidance, and, you know, it's sort of alongside MSDN, which is why I keep plugging MSDN on here. Our goal is to help developers use existing technology successfully, right? So while we'll still do some things with, like, Windows 8 and stuff, we're generally focused on the stuff that's already out there and available to folks. Whereas I think evangelism tends to be more, here's what's coming next, here's how to get ready for it. Is that fair?
Yeah, we do. We dip into a lot of the new stuff, the stuff that's coming out, things like that. And then, you know, where we can, the existing stuff to hit those developers as well. But yeah, we probably do a lot more new stuff than your group.
And I can't help myself, so I'm still doing some new stuff. But our primary focus really is, when Scott Hanselman was in charge of the group, he used to say, "We're in charge of file new project. What the heck do I do now?"
Okay.
So that's sort of where we differentiate in ourselves.
But both really trying to make developers more effective, whether it's with the existing technology or with what's coming, the new stuff, right?
Yep.
MVC3, yep. MVC4 type stuff, where you might focus, Pete, more on MVC3 and even MVC2, right? Because there's still a lot of that out there.
I farm all that web crap out to John, but yeah,
yeah.
Otherwise it's...
But your group does that.
So
yeah,
okay. We can start arguing
the web crap.
I think we talked about the blogs, and you guys get a lot of feedback from that. And, certainly Twitter is one avenue that probably you have an even smaller percentage of people on. It's really hard to get to know somebody in 140 characters at a time.
Yeah.
Any other online avenues that you guys use, user voice or anything like that, to try and get information about your...
I visit the user voice sites for ASP.NET and stuff once in a while, and I actually was considering putting user voice on my own blog to allow, because I go out and actively ask people who, if they have sent me an email or a comment or something, then usually I'll go and, once in a while just email them and ask them, what kind of stuff are you looking to do, right? And then I'll try to write on those things to help them out, right? So you have stuff like that, and I thought of doing a user voice. Of course, there's the whole time component, right, of getting more stuff done, but something like that. Twitter, it takes a while. The nice thing about Twitter is there's a lot of people that, like yourself, Phil, or Pete, friends that I know, we speak at conferences, MVPs. So the nice thing is there's a nice little wave of info that's always kind of going around in the circles. And then a lot of those influentials know people who are a little bit shy, and they're kind of getting them onto social networking. And then once they introduce them to a couple of us who are, loudmouths out there, blammering all the time, then we can kind of get those people online and get them participating too. And I think most people, once they actually get online and start doing it, if they, have the time to participate in social networking, they find it valuable. I use Facebook too for stuff like that. LinkedIn a little bit, even Google+. You saw all the basic networks.
LinkedIn for when you're thinking about changing jobs, right? That's, whenever I see somebody updates their LinkedIn profile, I'm like, oh, they're looking for work.
I just post my blog posts up there and events and stuff like that. That's the,
So I tend to use Twitter a lot more. So if I look at how the feedback mechanisms work, when I post something to my blog, I'll sometimes get comments right away on stuff. But most of the blog traffic is search traffic, right? So it's 60% or something like that is search traffic, right? Whereas Twitter, I get the real-time feedback. Again, different group of people.
Right.
But, it's like 5,000 people, right? So you're able to, get a pretty broad swipe across a segment of the population. And I'll post information out there about here's some stuff we're doing. Here's some new things that are too short for a blog post, but still interesting anyway. And I'll get a lot of real-time feedback directly from that. It can tell what's interesting to people by what they retweet to others. And you can see what they favorite and stuff like that. And so I actually find the Twitter interaction, I do the blog stuff for search and to make sure that information is out there and available to people. But I find the Twitter interaction much more immediately gratifying because it gives me a lot more information right away.
Yeah,
and Facebook is for family for the most part, and I use it as a glorified RSS feed otherwise. So,
do you get a lot of questions on Twitter? Or mostly is it like responses to things you might have posted? Like you might say, hey, I just blogged this.
I get a lot of everything. Everything from, every once in a while, I'm sure Pete gets this too. There will be a frustrated developer out there, and they'll either hit you up on Twitter, email, or something, and,
sometimes all three at once,
yeah,
right?
All three at once, right? And it'll be it's your fault, MVC, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's really not. How about I work through this with you? So we'll get, everything from the flames and the drills to the, congratulatory things, or if I, say that I've done a blog post, a lot of people will retweet that, and then, other followers would be able to get to that.
I think from an immediate feedback or a rapid feedback, concern, that Twitter would be very helpful for you. At least, for an angry developer is, they always say, you know, an angry person will tell 100 people they don't like you, and a happy person won't tell anybody, mm-hmm. or maybe just tell their friends, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can get that immediate feedback from somebody that they are frustrated,
yeah.
then, and you can help them, you know, do the right thing or figure it out and make them a happy person, then, you know, you're helping Microsoft, you're helping the developer community, you're doing your job, right? You're getting to know yeah. that customer a little better.
Yeah.
And that's where you'll get the complaints for the bad stuff, right? You know, and I've heard one or two complaints lately about XAML-based technologies, right? Every once in a while. And then instead of the praise for the good stuff, you'll have to read the metadata about it, like the people retweeting stuff and passing things along to their friends. It's sort of like looking at session evals, you know, different things here. So you look at the comments and evals because that's more interesting to you. But the same thing on Twitter, you'll look at the metadata and say, hey, you know, this post has been favorited, right, you know, a bunch of times. If you go to favestar.fm, you can see most popular favorited posts and stuff like that. And you really only factor into that if you have, you know, 10x the followers that somebody like myself has, but it still gives you that useful bit of feedback. But again, just to kind of bring it back, I don't want people to think that that's the only outlet, because I think, you know, Rachel and I both understand, and you as well, that is a segment, you know, of the population. It's a right. small segment. And so we'll listen to them, and it's great to engage with those folks at the same time. But, you know, the reason that we come to events like VS Live is because we know in any given talk that I give here, you know, there'll be 150 people in the room, and three of them will be on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And that's the end of part one. Please stay tuned. Our next episode will have the conclusion of this interview. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to reach out and have any comments, concerns, or suggestions for future episodes, you can either go to our homepage, www.telerik.com/zerotoagile, or email us at zerotoagile@telerik.com. Thanks for listening.